Hello, and welcome to The Canadian Story, where we discuss what Canada is, what Canada could be, and what Canada should be.
And welcome back to The Canadian Story. Today, we are joined by the legendary Sean Newman. Sean, welcome to the podcast.
Well, that's a first. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Thanks for being here.
You're becoming a legend in this burgeoning conservative podcast world. I think you're definitely leading the charge here in Alberta. So thank you for doing that, Sean. Zach and I care a lot about this, and you've been carrying the banner here in Alberta in a big way in the podcast space. So I'm sure we'll get to that later, but why don't you share a little bit with listeners about who don't know who you are, most of them well, but who you are, what you're all about, and what the journey you're on right now.
Well, I can, I've never had legendary and conservative and Sean Newman probably in the same sentence. When I first started, I started the podcast, the Sean Newman podcast, 3 years ago. It certainly wasn't to do any of those things, right? It was, I put it as my name because I didn't want it to get kind of tied into one subject, and that allowed me to go wherever I wanted it to go. So 3 years ago, I started it, and it's kind of evolved and into this experiment of sorts, I guess. But essentially, just interviewing people from around the world and trying to, you know, make sense of some of the confusion that's going on. For my background, for the listener, I was born and raised on a farm just north of Lloydminster, small town, Saskatchewan. I played hockey across Canada, into the States, into Europe. And by no stretch of the imagination was I close to the NHL. I just got to see a bit of the world playing the game I love. And when I came home, I got involved in the oil field and worked there for about a decade. And in the meantime, started a podcast. And the podcast, you know, has been successful to the point where I can do it full time. And I'm having a hard time saying that last sentence aloud because I don't want to jinx it. So it's been super cool. I think, you know, in Western Canada, maybe Canada, I've said this lots. We look to the United States for all of our entertainment, for all of our, I don't know, just like we want to get insight into what's going on in the world. And we look to the south of the border. And I think we have a job to do up north here. And I think there's enough smart, talented people such as yourself, you two guys that are doing it. And I think it needs to stay here and stay put because, I mean, we can't get all the answers from the United States. We can certainly make up our mind on what's going around, not only in Alberta, Saskatchewan, but across Canada.
Oh, that's a really good way of putting it. And I met you actually, well, I heard about you way before I met you. And because I was going around Alberta doing these Take Back Alberta events, and everywhere I went, they're like, do you know Sean Newman? Have you been on his podcast? And specifically, you have an episode with Shane Getson, who's an MLA, that Shane kind of explained why he got involved in politics on that episode. Remember what number it is?
Funny. I should have had that ready for you. I don't. It's in the last 30, right? And I mean, that's a wide swath. As we go along here, I can search it.
Get it in the show notes, right?
Sure. Track.
The point is that I kept getting brought up to me, and then I ended up at an event that you put on. You wanted to share about that event a little bit? I thought that was a great event.
So for the listener, once again, I didn't want to do like 3 years ago, politics was kind of taboo. I'm a hockey guy. I interviewed, some of the greats here in Canada, like Don Cherry and Ron McLean. I mean, Ron McLean out West here has a little bit of a sour taste because of what he did to Don, but Glenn Sather for Oilers fans and Daryl Sutter for Calgary fans, right? Like I really enjoy learning the process of what makes somebody successful and kind of being this upright person. And then COVID hit, right? Like, I mean, and then COVID hit and it was like no rule mattered anymore. And it didn't matter how I thought. I wasn't allowed to think anymore. I was told this is what you got to do. And so the longer that went on, the higher my stress level went up. And I eventually just went, well, I have no choice. I have to start talking about this. I can't act like, you know, there's just the NHL and that's it when right, I'm not even allowed right. in an NHL rink. And I mean, like, it's just wild. So Here's a guy who knows nothing. I literally know nothing about politics other than, you know, every 4 years I put my vote in. I watched the federal election for the first time in 2015. I'm green. So Shane gets suggested to me and I'm going, all right, like I'm a little bit skeptical to do a politician because, you know, like what's going to happen here? Well, and I get Shane billed to me of what he is and how he got into politics. And I went, honestly, okay. He sounds like kind of my type of person. So he came down, we sat, we had a great conversation and he, you know, he's another guy like so many people in this part of the world that just got frustrated and went, well, what am I going to do? Sit here and not lend my hand and try and hopefully build a solution. And so he gets involved and I didn't realize that became such a hit with the conservative side of the world, especially in Alberta. But I mean, you're right. It kind of blew up and people enjoyed it, I guess, you know, like I say, I guess, cause I'm like, I've been doing the same thing with different people. And that one Shane Getson, who nobody knew in this world, they're like, who? And they all enjoyed it. So I had this idea as I circled this, a long story on what I built, but the SMP Presents was this idea, that me and Mike Kuzmiskas kind of had. He didn't have the idea. Just it came up in one of our conversations. And Mike Kuzmiskas, people will probably know as the CEO of iCor Blood Services. And we were talking through some problems of COVID. And one of them was just basically, why don't politicians stick really smart people in a room, put a whiteboard up and write out the problem and then just start, you know, pestering it with solutions, right? And, you know, that's what the SMP Presents was supposed to be about. I brought in a politician. That was Shane Getson. Danielle Smith was a media personality. Obviously, she has political ties now, but she'd been out of politics for some time and had been a media professional. I had Andre Murray, a lawyer, and then Eric Payne, a doctor. I put four people up, let them discuss different issues the audience wanted. And, you know, I got to be honest, boys, I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. Like my idea of fun and of listening to people talk all night might be a really dumb idea. And instead, I mean, David, you were in the house. Like I looked out in the audience and you could hear a pin drop and I was like, oh, people are into it. Yeah. And so we had a full house here in Lloyd of all places that people come from all over Alberta and Saskatchewan. And cause Lloyd's a unique little spot, right? Like we're right on the border. So although I'm on the Alberta side, like we follow half the SHA, the Sask Health Authority rules, right? So brought people to Lloyd and just let four really smart people hash out some issues. It was a healthy night, I think.
I thought it was a great night. And what I appreciated about it most is that it was just a really frank conversation. It was a conversation. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that because you've now entered this conversation space that's evolving as we speak. And one of the things that I know you and I've talked about, Jordan Peterson says that only 15% of people learn by reading. Most people learn by hearing or by doing, right? Which is why apprenticeship is so important in the trades, or also why, you know, podcasts are becoming so popular, especially with Generation Z, because that's how most people gain information. So we have a whole bunch of people who are now able to learn in a way they weren't learning before because they're listening to dialogues. You are a creator of some of those dialogues. What is that like as an experience? That's part of the Canadian, your Canadian story is stumbling upon, let's say, this career of having conversations. Walk us through that journey.
Well, first off, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this. Like if I rewind the clock 3 years, in the back of my brain, I thought maybe, right? But I just wanted to have some fun. And that's exactly what it is. I tell the audience all the time, please do not take my word for anything. I really want you to think because I'm thinking. Like, I don't have the answer. And you guys probably understand this from doing this. Going back and forth and maybe tabling an idea is like, I think a lot while I talk. So I can say really dumb things and I can ask really dumb questions. And I got over that like uncomfortable, like feeling of I'm going to sound like an idiot because like at the end of the day, I don't have all the answers. I don't. And I don't know if there's a person on the planet who does. And COVID, whether it was a grand plan or not, it doesn't matter. Nobody in our neck of the woods knew it was coming for the most part, right? Everyone was kind of like, what the hell is this, right? It was more the reaction to what happened. So being part of like the forefront of dialogue and stuff, I don't know. There's days that it's extremely uncomfortable because I'm getting exposed. I'm a small town farm kid who has a little bit of world travel under his belt for sure. But I'm like typical Canadian. I don't want confrontation. I want to be super nice to everybody. But the truth of the matter is what's going on and continues to go on and what's happened over the past 2 years, it's like, I can be this nice guy and act like I don't stand for anything, but then I just get run over anyways. Or I can start broaching these subjects, which is extremely uncomfortable, and start to like open up people's eyes to like some of these issues, whether we want to talk about it or not, are coming. And it's uncomfortable. I don't know. You guys, like, man, sitting on your side.
Man, I can 100% echo everything that you're saying. I mean, my background, I come from the music industry. I produce records. I help people make music. And I travel with bands doing shows. I was not prepared or planning to step into the space where we have to take on things that people don't want to talk about. But you're right. Like, if we don't start having the conversations, and we, you know, David and I have pushed to have these conversations and you're pushing to have the conversations. But if we as a country don't continue to have more and more of these conversations and talk about the uncomfortable things, our trajectory is not an encouraging prospect, but it is uncomfortable to do. And it gets better. I don't know. Maybe you can speak to that experience too. I think it gets better. You get used to it. But getting into it is weird.
Well, a story that I like to tell is Zach, the first time Zach and I thought we were going to get canceled for putting out an episode. Remember, Zach? Like, we're like ready for it. We're like, we got to do this. This is the right thing to do. And yeah. Nothing happened.
Yeah, that's been the other side of the coin too, I guess, is that, you know, we've had conversations where it's like, we are going to get slaughtered for that. And sometimes, like, you run into the occasional like prick on Facebook who runs his mouth but probably isn't that smart anyway, and otherwise it's been pretty quiet. There's been way more support and agreeance and people saying thank you for speaking out than there has been opposition. Do you feel the same way, Sean?
Yeah, well, I think I don't know. I go, I've been waiting in Canada to like have, I'm not Joe Rogan. I want that to be very clear. I want to be like a Canadian Joe Rogan, right? Like, I like how Joe does his stuff, but I watch him and I go, why can't Canada have that? Right. I get all the, like, the money and the population and everything's down there, but like, Canada's a cool country. I love Canada and we got no Joe Rogan happening. Meanwhile, like, podcasting is giant. And so I watched that and I go, yeah, the start of it was extremely uncomfortable. Exposing even your audience to going into certain subjects is probably just a shock for them, right? Like, at the start, I was talking about, you know, some fun stories, Don Cherry coming on and not talking about anything too heavy. And then, you know, you get into COVID, and COVID obviously is the most evident one because we're still coming through it, but, there were some hard conversations in there that, those are some tough days. I when I look back on it, it's like, yeah, did it get easier? I don't know. I just got less worried about releasing everything. Cause I thought at that point, everything's going to get me canceled. I don't know the difference. You guys are in Calgary, right? And so like Calgary, well, right?
Zach's in Cambridge, Ontario, and I'm...
Oh, you're in Ontario.
Yeah. Woodstock, actually. I'm in Woodstock.
Oh. Right, Woodstock. Yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah. Okay, well, then let me ask you this, Zach, because I come from, like, Lloyd is, I considered, a small town. Mm-hmm. So, like...
What's the population?
30,000-ish, okay. Maybe. But it's like a, you know, a large, small town. Is what I would argue with. And so let's see if I can break this down. Like, I've gotten comfortable with being uncomfortable in certain subjects because this small town let me hear about when I was stepping across the line over and over and over again. And everybody, like, for the most part, I know a lot of people in this town. It's part of my success came from when I first started is I knew the area. I grew up here. I was interviewing. I started interviewing like local community members. One of the things about Lloyd that's interesting is I'm stuck in between Saskatoon and Edmonton. We're kind of like the ugly stepchild. Like we're in the middle of nowhere and we're on the border. So neither Alberta wants us or Saskatchewan wants us, right? So starting something here and kind of promoting the area, I grew a following, a grassroots following right off the hop. And so then when you go into controversial things, like even the people that loved what I was doing, they started to voice their concern. And I had some interesting phone calls the first time Peter McCullough came on. Like when he came on, that was a rough couple weeks. And I don't know, like, do you think Joe Rogan, I just don't think he listens to the haters anymore. And I guess while we go, you say, like, if I go back to the original question, it was basically like, oh, have you gotten accustomed to it? It's like, I think I stopped listening. I think that's what I did because listening to it really hurts because they don't attack. They attack you instead of the argument.
Yeah.
And anytime you attack somebody's like personal, like, what's the word I'm looking for, fellas? Like
character.
Reputation, yeah. Character. Yeah. Yeah.
It, like I'm still the same guy. I love my community. I help do a ton of stuff in the community. But as soon as I had Peter McCullough on, you're a piece of shit who want to see people die. And I'm like, what? No. Like I find what he's saying interesting. And yeah, it aligns with some of the things I think, but I want to hear what he has to say. And those attacks never get easier. I think you just stop listening to them.
Yeah. I had a weird one. We had a nurse on, and we were talking about ivermectin and, the whole COVID situation. And I had someone close to me basically say I was going to get people killed because I was questioning the vaccine. And, it's weird. It's weird to have that happen. I definitely know just from listening to Joe that he doesn't read any comments anywhere. Like as
anymore.
Maybe he used to. I'm sure that he used to, but I know that he doesn't anymore. So that's got to count for something.
Yeah. If you go back in his episodes, I forget how long it'd be. You go far enough back, you hear him talking about like going through the comments and how wild they're. I think you can only live in that world for so long before you're like, I either got to stop looking at this or I got to quit.
Because even Twitter, I had to like delete my Twitter for a while because I realized it was just enraging me. People are just nuts on the comment section. Internet anonymity is not a good thing in my opinion. Like why should we allow people to just say whatever they want about someone and not be held responsible for it?
Yeah, and I don't know if it comes from, but it can't because I've heard enough Americans talk about it. I find it like I don't enjoy it, and I just don't enjoy being personally attacked. I don't know if anyone enjoys that. You know, like certain people have a very good talent for being attacked and like counter arguing and type and stuff like that. But I didn't start this podcast to. I don't know, to be groundbreaking, earth-shattering. I started it literally to have some fun. And then COVID hit. And you mean, for the listener, I can go back. They can go back. For the first year of COVID, I don't talk about COVID. Like, I literally just carry on and, like, you know, everybody's doing their best. Like, I have, you know. But the longer it went on, the more batshit crazy it got. And to the point where it's like, at some point, we have to start talking about this. Yeah. Like, this is getting odd.
Yeah, like, right? are we going to say anything about this or are we just going to like keep letting all of this happen? Because this is weird.
Well, Zach and I pretty early on were, I guess it was 2021, we started talking about it. I guess that's a year in. So it's similar to you, I guess.
Yeah, when we started talking about COVID, yeah. Yeah. And David and I, with our own podcast, because the original concept of this show was kind of... akin to what you were saying, like Canada's awesome. Canada's really, really, really cool. Why don't we talk about how cool it is more? And like, it kind of came from this idea that Canada had a branding problem.
Yeah, which we still, it absolutely has a branding problem.
Because if you think about the states, it's very easy to think like, well, what do the states represent? They're strong, military, you know, free, although I guess COVID has kind of called some of that into question. But like the idea of the United States is clear and it's awesome. And I think Canada is an equally awesome country. But if you think about Canada, what represents Canada? It's like, I don't know, they're really nice people and they like hockey and there are beavers there and it's cold. We thought, you know, we can do better for Canada. Like we should talk to Canadians about what they're doing and then just tell a whole bunch of those stories and be like, hey, look at all this awesome stuff that's happening in Canada. And that was the original idea.
That was the whole purpose of it. Yeah.
It was kind of meant to just be like a happy, like cheerleading session for the country.
Have you seen Humans of New York, Sean? Like the Facebook page? That was what it was supposed to be for Canada. That was the whole purpose of it.
But then Canada fucked up.
Yeah. Well, I think,
and now here we are.
You know, I traveled across. I was proud of Canada. Let's just go 5 years ago because I can't put my finger exactly on it. But like, I traveled to Europe. I went across. I traveled the world as a Canadian. I was very proud to be Canadian. We were held in very high regard. And you got to remember, like, in history, World War One, World War Two. Some of the things the Canadian military did is like held in high regard in the world, right? Yeah. I think as a population, we held everybody in check because like the Canadian population held all Canadians in check is like the way you act in society is you're nice, you're not confrontational, and we have this lovely society and move on. Now, I may be in a bubble in Western Canada, but that's kind of what you were growing up on. Like, the kind of the principles of a small community is the way it felt. When COVID hit, I think we had to learn how to be nice but firm in our beliefs. And I think we're building that. And I heard so many people talk about being, you know, weren't proud of the flag and things like that. But frankly, we weren't prepared for what COVID was going to do. And we thought, like, I just look at myself. I trusted the government was going to handle it in the right way. And now I'm like, I'm absolutely flabbergasted that we got this far and still they won't relinquish some of the stuff that's going on. And so I just think Canadians are forging a new identity for themselves. And I really hope we can help in some of that. And I mean, and when I say that, I'm helping myself do that, right? Because I was the Canadian who went, no, they got it right. And, you know, like it's good. And no, just show up and pay your taxes. And, you know, and like, I was that happy-go-lucky guy. And it's uncomfortable to be like, no, I'm not putting a mask on. And they're, you know, or I'm going to go to Ottawa and support a, you know, like, and then be called all the things our prime minister called. And, you know, I had Ron McLean on the podcast like 3 weeks ago or maybe 2 weeks ago. And me and him got in a huge an argument, a discussion about Ottawa, him saying, no, it wasn't that, me going, I was there. Like it totally was that. Right. Like, and so that's a very, like, I just want to hear, you know, I'll stick with Ron McLean. I do just want to hear hockey stories, but those days I feel like are kind of gone. Like we have to hold people accountable and we gotta start to broach these subjects with not everything's okay. Cause not everything right now is like, there's some major issues going on and we got to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think really we were just too comfortable for too long, right? Sean, you and I have talked about this. Like we just thought that everything was going to be okay because everything had always been okay. And then suddenly it wasn't okay anymore.
Yeah. Like I was hoping, you know, I'm sure if you grew up in any time era, you hope you get 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it is, with no war, you make a ton of money. There's no ups and downs. Everybody's on the up and up and things just, you know, roll smooth. But I mean, if you look in history, like that never happened. So we were due. And I mean, it probably shouldn't shock me so much that a government tried doing, well, just what happened, but it did because I think Canadians had this weird trust in our government, unless you come from unless you honestly, maybe First Nations, maybe they'd be like, not a chance, right? After what's happened to them. Certainly people who've immigrated from Eastern Europe, Russia, Middle East, maybe Africa. Like, there's enough people out there where their governments have totally fucked them over. And then they move to Canada and they're like, no, you can't allow them to do this. And we're all like, oh, they're all good, right? Like, it's, you know, like, it's just, it's a lesson learned. I'm glad we caught it when we caught it. Now it's, you know, it's given opportunity for podcasts like yourself to talk about it. And people are hungry for open talk. Like, let's talk about some things. And I'm hungry for that. Like, and I want to see the talent stay in Canada. You know, when you were mentioning, Zach, about what the Americans have over us, I think one of the big things they have over for what we're doing is like the entertainment, like Hollywood and like all the big names go to the United States. They just do. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's the shiny light, like you're going to go down there. But to me, there's a huge opportunity and possibility here in Canada because nobody's in Canada talking about Canada, right? Like, if you want to hear what's going on with anything, you immediately flick on to, I don't know, what's the big one on the right? Tucker Carlson, right? I'm like,
he's
Fox. He's an American news channel. The hell are we, like, don't get me wrong, my parents love BBC, and I'm not saying an alternative source outside of Canada isn't a bad thing, but wouldn't you both agree it'd be nice to just, well, I was just watching the conservative leadership, never thought I'd be doing that, and that was off the Western Standard. I was just like, they had the live stream going, I'm like, flick this on and watch it. I think that's awesome. I think more of that needs to happen.
Well, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Yeah, David champions this all the time, but I think there is a maturing that's happening in our country, and it is because, well, we were safe and we were happy and we were comfortable and everything was okay until all of a sudden it wasn't. And as I think a nation, we are going through the growing pains right now of hashing out what it means to be able to deal with a situation like that as individuals and as a country. And David might push it a little bit harder. I'm not saying that everyone should run out and sign up to a political party and become a politician, but I think gone are the days of not keeping track of just saying, yeah, that'll take care of itself, and I'll show up once every 4 years to vote, and I don't know, that guy seems okay, or whatever, you know, that guy likes this, okay, cool. I don't think, at least for the next number of maybe decades, that's even an option, because we've seen now the consequence of when that political system goes sideways and what that means. And you don't just unsee that, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. Sean, I'm interested in hearing about your time in Ottawa from your perspective, which is very different than perhaps some of the others that we'll talk to or have talked to about their time in Ottawa, because you were quasi-media, right? Like, you're in the new media space. So you did get a different perspective, but you've seen how crazy it is to be in what feels like an alternative universe, right? Where you're being talked about one way and your lived experience is a complete different one. So can you share that with us a bit, what that was like?
Yeah, I literally interviewed a lady today on propaganda, and I've heard the word and term propaganda thrown around so much, you know, you kind of like, is that what it is? Is that not what it is? Right. And after sitting with her, like, it's like it helped come to terms with Ottawa. So I catch up to the convoy in Ontario, and follow it and be a part of it, I guess, for 3 days in Ottawa. And that experience in itself was better than Ottawa. Like, the amount of people out on the highway, you know, when people ask how many people are in Ottawa, I'm like, I don't know, thousands, tens of thousands. Like, I mean, every day was different. Weekend was certainly a crazy amount of people. But the highway was impressive because it was like minus 30 something. And there was just fires on the highway, the Trans-Canada Highway, which I'm sure must be illegal. But who's going to stop that, right? And here's this thing that when it came together at North Bay, I swear the road was shaking. The two convoys had to diverge after Thunder Bay, and then they came back around and met back up. And when they met up, the environment there was something that a movie will try and redo and probably won't do it justice, just because it was just wild. It was like controlled chaos, but in the most beautiful way. Anyways, Ottawa, you get to Ottawa and like those, I was there for the first week essentially of the convoy. And so I didn't see the end. And what I saw at the start was the most unified our country has ever been. Now, one of the things, boys, I don't know the answer to is like, are all protests like that? Does everybody have like this? I'm sure it partially, right? So like, is there an intoxication because everybody's there for the right reasons, that type of thing? Sure. But like the absolute mindfuck came when I turned on the CBC because I just want to see it once. And it was maybe a mistake or maybe it was the greatest thing. You flipped on the CBC and they were using just like crazy terms. And I was like, oh my God, like they need to literally come down and see this. Like none of that's going on. And you know, the first night they had SWAT down there. The rumor was flying around. They were coming to arrest everybody. And then, you know, you get, I know Dan Bulford and me and him had talked and he's like, no, they're here for protection. There's been rumors about XYZ. I'm sure there was rumors about everything. Right. And so it just seemed like it was like the old game you remember in probably in like grade one, you play the rumor game or where you tell and it passed along through the kids. Yeah, and by the end, yeah. It's nothing.
Telephone. Yeah. Telephone.
Thank you. That's what Ottawa there was for a while. It was one new problem after another. And I thought the group there that was kind of helping coordinate all these different groups of truckers did an excellent job. I mean, was there problems? I'm sure there was. From what I saw, it was none of that. It was a complete bubble, like you said, David, compared to like if you were in that bubble, what was going on there was, I don't know. I don't even know how to put it into words, right? Like beautiful. It was unreal. It was surreal. Just everybody had their guard down and emotions were high in a great way. The cops, the first day, you know, they had their balaclavas on and they were cross-armed and they were, and day two, their mouth's showing and day three, this heads off and day four, they're high-fiving and smiling and day five, they transferred them out and brought in new cops and it would happen all over again, right? Because if you didn't come down to see it and watch the CBC, like literally they were talking, you know, they were trying to frame it like, you know, we were running over little old ladies and stuff like that. Like day one, the sidewalk in front of Parliament had probably, I don't know, 8 inches of snow. Like it was loose powder. It was hard for me to walk on. And somebody came with a wheelchair and couldn't get down it. So what happened was, well, they're not going to stand for that. Over the course of like 24 hours, a shovel gets formed and two, then 20. And all of a sudden that highway was, or, you know, the stretch was clean. And anytime it snowed, they shoveled it off. And it was like I had a 20 year vet of the Ottawa Police Force tell me, you know, the one thing, he wouldn't agree with everything the truckers are for, but he said the one impressive thing was he'd never seen a protest group like that size, clean up its own garbage and like try and make sure they weren't doing anything bad. And to me, that's what I saw. I saw all of that. Certainly there was, you know, one of my favorite conversations. There was a Facebook video or two that definitely went viral of a guy walking around losing his mind, wearing a mask and just like hating on the truckers. I bumped into that guy. Me and him had like, he yelled at me for 10 minutes. I thought it was fantastic because he was upset with the horns. And I was like, he was trying to tell me why they need to get out of Ottawa. And I was trying to explain to him why they had to be in Ottawa. And by the end of it, we shook hands. I went and turned off a horn for him. He got me a glass of water and he went off happy because what was really bothering him was one car alarm. If you could imagine, instead of a horn, there was a car alarm that had that, you know, that like that wakes up everybody in the middle of the night. And we solved the problem and he was happy for it. And he was just, nobody was listening to him and he wasn't sleeping. I think we can all relate, but the way videos frame all that online is like, people are losing their minds down here and everything else. Well, he was upset, but it was a simple problem and we helped fix it. I don't know if that answers all your questions. Ottawa was an experience I won't ever forget.
While you were there, granted you weren't there for the whole time, did you witness any violence, any acts of hate, any, you know, all the stuff that we were seeing it being framed as, if you were silly enough to watch the news, which if you still watch the news, I don't know what to say to you. stop.
We can't help you then.
I guess. But yeah, did you any of the things that they were saying, did you see those things happening at all?
So I'll preface this by saying I'm not omnipresent, so I couldn't be everywhere. Towards the end, I saw a little more alcohol consumption than initially. But I think if you stick a group of people in an area like that, that's probably just natural. But I didn't see anything like nothing crazy. I saw a couple people get into it with the cops for sure. The initial group of cops there were fantastic. Especially after like day two, when they realized we weren't all there to burn the place down. Right. But overall, the first two nights I was worried about going out because I've been told about Antifa and they were coming to, you know, kill us all and all these crazy things. And I would say I went out, the second or third night, and it's like 9-10 o'clock at night. And I'm a little bit nervous because I'm like, I've been hearing all these stories about, like, which is funny because you got to, like, literally thousands of truckers. Who's coming to mess with these guys? I mean, I digress. But I walk out and there's a family of five, a mom, a dad, obviously, and then three kids. I'm gonna guess, I'm terrible with ages, but let's say from 7 to 12, just to kind of give people a picture. And they're going around giving out candy bags to all the truckers and people, and I'm like, I thought they said this would be dangerous, right? Keep us all off the streets. And so then, you know, as it progressed, I just stayed out later and later and saw people cleaning the streets, feeding the homeless. They had, like, people were coming down from around Ottawa, in Ottawa after work, setting up these, like, makeshift, I don't know, buffet lines where they would cook stew or chili or, you know, you just throw out the idea. It was there. And just feeding anyone who wanted food. And that was happening, like, nonstop. Garbage was a problem at one point, but in the very early, because they didn't put out any garbage cans. And I mean, how do you predict that people are going to stay there for that long? Well, they problem solved that. And all of a sudden now on the streets that surrounded, like, I swear, I mean, once again, I don't know how far it stemmed back, but they started tying garbage bags to, like, all the poles. So, like, I could be wrong, but I'd have to assume that that's the cleanest downtown Ottawa has been in, like, forever. And that's what I saw. I saw, like, this unbelievable humanity returning to people that, you know, we're told not to talk to, don't get too close, all these things, because you're going to die. And what happened was, is, like, all of Canada showed up, all the provinces, for the right reasons. Everybody was there because they've been pretty much isolated for 2 years. And what happened there was just like a Bob Marley song, right? Like, it was just peace, love, unity. It was cool. It was, and any problem that came up, they problem solved it and got rid of it. You know, one of the things that happened, I'll say one more story and then I'll shut up, but they talked about, it was day two. So the first day they literally plugged downtown. So you couldn't drive. Three abroad, semis everywhere. And the cops showed up and they told them, listen, if you keep it like this and somebody goes into labor, has a heart attack, you just name any reason, and they die because we can't get an ambulance in here, or a kid loses its life or whatever, that's going to be on you guys. And that's how they're going to frame it. And within, I'm not kidding you, 8 minutes, maybe less, the middle lanes were open and you could drive anywhere you wanted to. It was just lined with semis, and that never changed. And I thought, like, those are the stories that tell you what Ottawa was all about.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So where does that leave us? We're in a country where you said you had someone on about propaganda. We're in a country where our media does not accurately portray events within our own country. I guess the microcosm answer is, you know, we all started podcasts. That's a start. But
yeah.
What do you think we do?
Exactly what we're doing. One of the things that the convoy, like, really impressed upon me as I didn't understand the power the people truly have. And we saw it.
Yes.
Yes.
We just like politicians can say whatever they want. The law can say whatever we want. For 2 years, COVID dictated and along with a chunk of the population dictated that laws did not matter, that like anything, our Charter of Rights and Freedoms does not matter. Okay. Well, why is that? Well, because a group of people put a lot of pressure on the government and were terrified. Now, it doesn't matter why they're terrified or anything like that. While we can get deep into the rabbit hole of how that all came to be, but it just showed you how being a vocal minority of people or a group of people, like, holy crap, all of a sudden my rights don't matter. Well, isn't it shocking then when the truckers go and now they show, listen, we aren't 10 people. Like, we are a ton of people. All of a sudden, all the mandates are gone. Now, they aren't all gone.
No.
But, I mean, we still, like, there's people that still can't travel across this country, can't leave the country. Like, that should be terrifying to people. And those need to go. Like, they just do. But the power is with the people. Like, and if you know, Shane Getson, go back to Shane Getson. He said something to me that's really stuck. I just didn't realize how to do it until the truckers did it. And that is, you know, politicians, sure, they control the big stick, but they do what the public says. And how do public form that opinion? Oh, media. So what do we all have to do? Well, if CBC is going to frame something that isn't true, they're going to use propaganda. Like, I mean, that geez, like I can say it here for the last 2 years, like it is thick. Well, then we open up channels and we start talking about it. And listen, yeah. Am I great at it? I'm improving every single day.
There's the yes, yes.
And so
how do you get better? How do you get good at something, Zach?
You do it a lot.
a lot,
exactly.
Yeah, it's like weightlifting. And I know that gets like used a ton, right? But if you've been in the gym, do you go bench press or do a 300-pound squat, right? In my younger days, I used to be able to do those things, right? Mm-hmm. Well, no, that takes repetition and training and everything like that, right? I was just fortunate enough, like, honestly, I don't know what that is. If I had started this 2022 January, I wouldn't be right here. I'd be fighting it with everybody else. I still am. But the one thing that did benefit me was I started in 2019, and I have this weird, I really believe in consistency. Like, every week I'm going to release an episode. And then for 2 years, every week I'm going to release 2 episodes. And now it's every week I'm going to release 3 episodes. And I like that, to me, is the gospel. Like, it keeps my life structured and in check. And I think it's, if you go talk to any successful person, consistency, if you do something once and then never do it again, do you plan to be successful at it? No. Like,
no, exactly. Okay, we are closing in on the end of our episode here, but there's two things I wanted to talk about before we're done here. The first is, it's very cool. I'm seeing a ton of overlap between our episode guests now and yours. We got Drew Weatherhead. So we're starting to see overlap within this Canadian conservative podcast community. So I wanted you to speak a little bit about how you're seeing that develop from your perspective. Then I'll let Zach share how he's seeing it, then I can, and then we'll wrap it up.
Well, I think it's super cool. I think there needs to be healthy competition, but at the same time, a network built where people can, you know, find different podcasts. Because, you know, for everyone that loves Sean Newman, there's going to be people that hate me, and they're going to love Zach and David, and I'm okay with that, right? I don't think I'm going to resonate with every single person in the world. I think Joe Rogan's a perfect example of that. He's got a ton of people listening to him, but it's not like 99% of the population listens to them, right? We just need people to find everything. So Drew's a great one. I've had multiple conversations with him, and he's got a fantastic brain on it. I don't know if this will... I don't think of myself... Like, obviously, I've voted conservative all my life. I don't put myself in the conservative bubble. To me, I'll talk to anyone. I want to talk to anyone because maybe they have good ideas. And I just want good ideas to get us out of this. And if that comes from some Green Party person, I'm cool with it. If it comes from the NDP, I'm good with it. I would love to see the Conservative Party. You know, that's why I'm watching the debate, because I'm like, to me, when it's almost a two-party system, right? We know it's going to be, for the most part, liberals or conservative. Well, that leans heavily on the conservatives to get us there. I've kind of went off the track on what you're asking. I really think it's cool what's happening in Canada. I hope it continues to grow, and I hope the talent continues to stay here.
Yeah, I agree. Zach?
Yeah, I don't know if it's because I'm so plugged into, like, I don't know what you would call it. The network, the scene. I come from the band world, so we call it the scene, right? But seeing there has emerged over the past little while a group of people where, like, you see them on different shows and they're all talking to each other and they're all helping each other. And you know, you kind of put us a little bit, you know, as kind competitors, but I don't really see it that way. I actually see us as allies, because the more people that we can get going on an idea, you know, you come onto our podcast and then they go over to you. And all we're trying to do is we're trying to have great conversations about ideas that we believe, in all of our estimation, might be beneficial for the country and for the place we live in. And I don't think that makes us competitors. I think that makes us allies. And it's exciting to see allies in the game and a network of people who are talking to those people, because all of a sudden there does seem to be this kind of Canadian brand that's emerging, and you see those people in it, and it's fun to see.
Well, I like Viva Fry. I like that take.
Have you had Viva Fry on yet, Sean?
No, I haven't.
You gotta have Viva. We've had Viva. He's amazing. He's awesome.
Yeah, Viva's great. David, go ahead, and then I have one more question that I want to get.
Well, I was just going to, no, all I was going to say is that I'm really grateful for the people that are stepping up, like Sean, like Drew, like Viva, all of these voices. They're kind of all, we're all saying it in our own unique way, which is very different. The way that I go about my life is very different than how Sean does. It's very different than how Zach does. But at the end of the day, though we live different lives and we have different interests, we're all in unison saying, please pay attention, because something bad is happening here and we need to stop it from happening. And I'm just grateful to both of you for standing up when it wasn't easy to stand up. There was a lot of reasons not to, a lot of people didn't. And I'm just grateful to have people like you in my life, grateful to be working with you guys on this project. Couldn't agree more with Zach. I definitely see us as allies. Not necessarily.
It must be the NHL playoffs going on right now, where all I'm hoping for is an Alberta, the Battle of Alberta, to come back in round two. Cause like, I got too much competitive juice in my bones. Right. Like, but I like how Zach put it. I agree with everything you said. I agree with everything you said. I was going to say, you know, like Rogan and them have shown how they've networked and brought guys on. And I mean, there's a group of them certainly that must work quite well together. And I think, here in Canada, I think it can be very similar. I don't see why it can't.
Well, and that way we can actually, like you were saying earlier, which I think is really, it connects to what Zach was saying, but why we started the Canadian story is, we just need to be able, that's why the Western Standard was started by Derek and a group of us, right? Is this, like, Derek started it and did a great job with it. Now it's the most read news source in Western Canada, right? 2 years ago, we started that on a WordPress site. Just today, we moved on to a site that can handle a lot better. This thing was put together with duct tape, but it's getting the truth out. That's what you're doing, Sean. That's what Zach and I are trying to do with the Canadian story. And I think that's exciting that there's an ecosystem of truth tellers developing.
Mike Smith is being held together by duct tape for the Oilers right now. And I certainly hope he comes with
a shutout last night. That was
he needed a shutout after he threw the puck away and blew game one. So that's, hey, I'll eject a little sports here for every Canadian.
Well, that was going to be the last question that I wanted to ask. It would be a mistake to have such an avid hockey fan on the podcast during the playoffs and not just like get your take. Who's gonna take the cup this year? Like, what's the scoop,
yes,
man?
Yes. See,
and if you say anyone other than the Toronto Maple Leafs, we won't publish this episode.
Get out of here, Zach. Get out of here.
So Zach doesn't know what he's walking into. Everyone who listens to my podcast knows I'm a homer. Even when the Oilers don't have a shot, I always say the Oilers. I tell you what I love about this time of year, like right now, especially that the buildings are back full, is now I got friends who are basketball guys. So, you know, and certainly people who love baseball and everything, but the opening round of the NHL is fantastic. I can, all year long, you can't get me to watch a Minnesota St. Louis game. Like, why? But playoffs come, and all of a sudden, I'm just like, I wonder what's going on over there. And so, like, I love this time of year. I think Toronto is, like, they should, like, they're a superstar team. But they drew the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I think they're back-to-back champions.
It's bullshit. It's the first round curse.
Yeah, but every champion has to slay a demon. And for the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's getting out of the first round. Everyone has their story. I mean, everyone. The Edmonton Oilers got to get out of the first round, right? And they drew the LA Kings. Toronto Maple Leafs are like salivating at the thought of the LA Kings. And what do the LA Kings do the first game? They rely on Mike Smith, who's this 40-year-old, who instead of being like this calm, cool vet, is like jittery and throws a puck away, and they score to make it 4-3. And you're just like, what is going on? I live in an alternate universe where the Oilers are always going to be cursed. Like, you know, like this is where we sit. And at the end of the day, Toronto Maple Leafs
have
their
Connor
problem.
McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Like, come on.
I mean, like the Oilers are fun to watch. There was a fun game last night. I'm just happy the buildings are full. Like, it's so much better when there's people in the stands.
Oh my god!
And
goodness.
Not, you know, and enjoying themselves.
Honestly, Rexel, the new arena is amazing. I was in it on the opening night, and that building was electric.
I tell you what, the only burn my saddle about the new building is they took away the oil derrick for them skating out. I still don't understand why everybody says sight lines and everything, and I'm like, so what? You're creating atmosphere. Let's figure this thing out. That isn't a hard problem. But the Leafs, I don't think the Leafs skate out of anything, do they?
No.
Yeah, maybe they need to look
into
that.
I mean, it's like not that cool to skate out of a maple leaf.
True.
But somehow.
So you think it's the Oilers. You think it's the Oilers, but can you walk us through why?
Oh, no. Okay. So, okay. You're asking me realistically who I think can win the Stanley Cup. Okay. I never thought I would say this aloud. My brother has been cheering for him for 2 years, but in the opening round, all the games I've watched, Colorado has been like, I mean, they've only played one game, but I was like, holy shit. They're the real deal. And the Carolina Hurricanes, like they look
Carolina's looking good, eh?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They are dangerous. But you know, let's throw out a prediction of Colorado. I won't stick to the Oilers. Colorado, Carolina. But what I love about the NHL playoffs is the Oilers are playing pretty much the eighth seed in the LA Kings, which anyways. But like if all of a sudden the Washington Capitals make it out of the first, get on a run and make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, I don't think anyone would be shocked. They'd be a little surprised, but that's it. So like to me, this is the best time. I'll say Carolina, Colorado, but honestly, I think you can have any dog in the race right now and they can catch a little fire, and the playoffs just, oh man, there's no better time in life than when the first round of the NHL playoffs goes.
Dude, there's nothing better. And like, I think anyone who loves the game can attest to this, but when you enter the playoffs, the game changes. The pace, the veracity,
they can't keep that pace up during the regular season. Injuries,
no.
Intensity, you just name it. Like, but there's so many reasons they can't do that.
Not only does the game change, and maybe this is different for other people, but I change too. Cause like I love hockey. I grew up playing hockey. It's like hockey is my sport. And I love to watch it during the regular season, and I do as much as I can. But when the playoffs come on, I'm on my couch and I'm not doing anything else. And my wife has to go to the other room because I yell at my TV a lot. And it's just like the whole thing changes.
Oh, that's good. We got to get rolling here, but thank you so much for coming on, Sean.
You're going to cut off the NHL playoff talk. Well, screw you, David.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hey,
how un-Canadian of you.
No kidding.
Well, no, we do mean it, Sean. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And please take a quick second to plug your show yes. and what you do.
Yeah, sure. Sean Newman Podcast. It's on Spotify and Apple right now. It is on Rumble, although it is extremely difficult to find. I don't know what it is about that platform. I got
the same problem.
I got removed from YouTube. So I've been, it's been a love-hate relationship there. You can find me on Twitter, S Newman Podcast, or Instagram, Sean Newman Podcast. Appreciate you guys having me on, and I'll have to return the favor here in the future. And awesome. But who knows? But I mean, the Canadian Story might just come on and talk NHL playoffs. So hold right. on to your hat there.
I will enjoy that just to as a learning experience of watching you.
Well, thanks, fellas. Enjoyed myself.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to The Canadian Story. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at The Cad Story. That's The CAD Story. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with your friends and family. Let's work together to remind Canadians how great their country is.